Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you this day. We praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you have your cell phones, please put them on the silent position. And here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, My Thoughts Are Higher Than Yours. Not Pastor Fee, not yours. God's thoughts are higher than ours. And we're going to be looking in Isaiah 55. If you have your Bibles, turn there. And if you don't have your Bibles, praise God. We have the Word of God always on the screen for your understanding and for your learning. Amen. And so let's take a look at what Isaiah the prophet, this is what's going to start our message. But before we get into the message, we are going to be looking in the life of Moses. This is a time when Moses, we're going to read the story in Exodus in a few moments, but we're going to, you know, it's amazing. In one chapter, a whole 80 years could go by in one chapter of the Bible. And so we're going to see his birth. We're going to see his prominence in Egypt, and we're going to see his decisions that he made before he went into the desert for 40 years. Okay, so we're going to look at all that, and this is where this is going to take place. And this is where I'm going to ask that God give us ears to hear and eyes to see that what took place with Moses, sometimes those same situations are reenacted in our own life. Can I get amen? Okay, so here we go. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, and the Word of God reads, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What is God saying to us right now? God is basically saying is, God's supernatural, just extraordinary mind who created us, who formed and fashioned us, who spoke the whole entire universe into existence, is a much more higher and vast, intelligent being that was always there. And guess what? He created us. He created you and I. He formed us and fashioned us in our mother's womb. So if he knows every cell and fiber of our being, if he's the Alpha and the Omega, which he is, he knows the beginning and the end, that means he knows everything about our life, your life, and all the billions and billions and billions of people since Adam and Eve to our present day. Nothing gets past God. So we're going to look at decisions. I want you to say this word with me. Decisions. One more time. Decisions. We're going to look at the life of Moses on the decisions he made, which unfortunately had him go backwards in life instead of forward. And how many of you want to be successful while we're waiting for Jesus here on this earth, right? Okay. How many of us want to continue to raise up our family in the fear and admonition of the Lord? How many of us want to entreat our husband and our wife dearly and love them unconditionally? Okay, so there's many decisions that we have to ponder on so that God would be glorified and magnified. I need you to see this right up here. In every situation, especially challenging ones, we have two options as believers. We can either respond our way or what? God's way, huh? That's right. You see, saints, even though we know that doing what the Lord desires is the best choice in life, I hope you know that. But you and I were naturally drawn to our own way. And you ever heard this said before? Stinking thinking? Huh? Oh no, that's just me, right? That's just me. Stinking thinking. Yet God knows everything about us. He even knows the bad decisions we'll make in life. Did you know that? Oh, that's right. See, you have to understand, God knows our situations, and he has the power to work everything out for our good if you truly trust and believe him. Therefore, the only way to experience his best is to follow him, follow the Lord. Therefore, the only way, saints of God, is to yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Why? Because his best is better than our best. I hope you know that. It's so much better. And many scriptural principles are illustrated in the lives of people throughout the Word of God, throughout the Bible, saints. And Moses offers us a perfect example of doing it man's way and then doing it God's way. And how many of you would rather do it God's way? Oh man, I've been there, done that. We've heard that saying before. I've been there, done that. Don't want to do that again. And so let's look at this for a moment. We need to look at the historical biblical account of Moses. Okay? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 2. Now, this story starts off while Jacob and his 12 sons were living in Canaan. And Joseph's brothers became jealous of him and sold him into slavery. You guys know the story of Joseph, right? Okay. So then, basically, Joseph was caught in a slave trade, made his way down to Egypt. I'm paraphrasing now, and I'm letting you know, I'm fast-forwarding this story so we can get to where we need to go. But he made it down to Egypt. And because God was with Joseph, everything that the enemy threw at Joseph, it all crashed and burned. He was falsely accused of trying to make a move on Potiphar's wife. He was a type of Pharaoh, a type of junior king there. He was in charge of Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife would always try to seduce him. And so because he stood for the Lord, because he said, nuh-uh, not so. I'm not going to lie with you that you're my master's wife. I'm not going to touch you. She rose up in jealousy, accused him of wrongdoing, and he was thrown into prison. But yet, the king couldn't figure out why he had these dreams. Why he saw dreams of these skinny cows. And no one in his court can interpret the dreams. But one said, there is one in prison named Joseph. And so they brought Joseph and he shared the dreams. The reason why this king, he dreamed of these skinny calves, cows, that about ready to die, is because Joseph interpreted that there was a famine coming. So with the wisdom that God gave Joseph, all of Egypt stored up their grains, stored up all the food. In other words, they prepared. They prepared for the famine that was coming. And guess what? The famine came. And all that whole region, okay, became hungry except Egypt. Egypt had all the goods. Why? Because of Joseph, God's child. God wants to use you and I no differently in the day that we live in, with wisdom and great understanding and knowledge of the word. So while that took place, Joseph's family, and especially the brothers that forsook him, They came down to Egypt too because they were hungry. They were starving. And so the story goes where almost all of Israel went down to Egypt. They made abode there. And as years went on, that one Pharaoh that was there no longer was there. And as several years went by, the new Pharaohs did not know who Joseph and the nation of Israel, who they were and what they represented. So this Pharaoh turned on them and made them become slaves. And so for 430 years, they were slaves in Egypt. That's where we're going to pick up this story. So are you there with Exodus chapter 2? Let's read this story, and then we're going to just expound on Moses, because through that, Moses came to be. So let's go back up here on the word. Exodus chapter 2. Let's go. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. This is all in Egypt. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Why did she hide him? Because there was a decree from Pharaoh. Because there was a prophecy that a deliverer would come to set the Israelites free. And so the Pharaoh said, not on my watch. And so he set a decree to kill the firstborn males. So let's read verse 3 here. Here we go. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of the bulrushes for him, daubed him with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. Now, this is all the plan of God. All the plan of God, verse 6. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Praise God, they did not kill this child. Because God will not let that happen. Then Pharaoh, verse 9, then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child, nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name what? Moses, because I drew him out of the water. Wow. Now, it came to pass in those days. So years have gone by. Notice, from one scripture to the next, that was a whole lot of years that went by. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. So now, you got to remember the Ten Commandment movie, that was Hollywood. This is the real story. He knew who he was. So he went out to look at the burdens. They were in the what? In the mud pits. They were making bricks. They were gathering straw and mortar and all that to build these humongous, idolatrous buildings, temples for the Egyptians. And look what it says here. So he looked this way and that way. No, let me go back. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Oh, that took heart. He took heart to that. So he looked this way and that way. And then when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Okay. So this was a decision that he made. I need you to catch these points now. So he looked this way. He looked that way. He goes, oh, man, there ain't nobody looking. I'm just going to do away with this guy. And look this. So he looked this way, looked that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one, who did the wrong? Why are you striking your companion? Now, Moses, since he was raised in Pharaoh's house, became a prominent person. He had prestige, power, and probably the next in line to become another Pharaoh. Look at this. Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you? I want you to catch this. Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? What? Remember, he looked this way. He looked that way. Someone saw him do that. So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters. Look how this story is just zipping right through. There's so many years that have gone by here, but it's just zipping through. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Look at verse 7. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to rule their father, he said, how is it that you have come so soon? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of his shepherds. And he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock. Look at this in verse 20. So he said to his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Then Moses was content to live with the man and gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. And she bore him a son. And he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. Verse 23. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out. And there came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. You see, even though Moses was the man that God had chosen, he made some horrible decisions. Let me ask you this. Was it God's plan that he chose those things first? No. He did everything on impulse. We're going to look at this. So we need to look at this. What were Moses's mistakes? We got to examine his life in this message, because many of us will make mistakes in life no differently. Number one, we'll make decisions without going before the Lord. We'll make decisions before getting wisdom from elders, from pastors, from your spouse. And we do things out of impulse. So let's look at this. He focused on an event rather than the big picture. In other words, saying to God, instead of considering how to save the entire nation, he focused on one act of cruelty. He killed that guy because he got mad. That caused him to flee in fear and to go into another land. And he was what? Gone from Egypt. The man had all the prestige. Look what he did. He did this. He followed his reasoning. He reasoned with himself. I'm just going to kill this guy. And thinking that no one was watching. Let me just say this. God sees all things. I hope you know that. Nobody may be in the room, but God is there with us. Moses thought the only way to help the Hebrew was to kill the Egyptian, not knowing that there was a whole nation to save. And so what happened? He did this. He acted on impulse. Acted on impulse. Moses didn't pause to think. But he responded spontaneously. Oh, you dirty rat, I'm going to get you now. That's what he did. And then he did this. He acted on his own strength. How many of you done things on your own strength and sometimes it just crashes and burns? Okay, just me. He took matters into his own hands instead of relying on the Lord. Look at this. He acted in anger. Let me just say this. When you're full of anger, that is when you need to take a time out in your heart. Because if you continue in that anger, we will do things no differently than what Moses we just read about. And even if you don't kill someone, guess what you did? You killed that person in your heart. And that's no different than physically killing that person because now you hate that person. You hate that person. You can't stand to see that person, whatever that person did, or however your anger has raged in your heart regarding that matter. You see, his unchecked rage led him to that murder. And look at this. He failed to consider the future consequences. How many of you have done some things where you said, man, what did I just do? Let me just share a real quick one with me. One day we came home, and I forgot I locked my bedroom door. And everything was locked. I couldn't get in. There was no key, no extra key. The extra key was in the room. And then we went around the side. We couldn't get through the window. It was totally sealed. So I had a decision. Just chill out. Call a locksmith, and he'll come in for like $25 and open up the door for you. But no, I was so angered with myself. I was angry with me. I said, uh-uh, and I just barged right into the door, thinking that it would just unlatch. The whole lock, the whole door system crumbled, and the two-inch lath that was inside of the door all shattered. And instead of paying $25 and waiting, I ended up paying almost $200 in repairs. Oh, you remember that? Why? Because I acted out of impulse. I didn't say what I meant. You know, I didn't take time out and say, let's just call a locksmith and be patient and wait. But this is no different than what Moses did. And how many of us have done things like that? Oh, okay, just me. I'm up here just squealing on me. You see, Moses didn't think about what would happen as a result of his actions. And so, saints, when we do things our way, we'll make these same mistakes over and over and over again. But if we're in the habit of obeying the Lord, we'll recognize that his thoughts and ways are higher than ours. They're better than ours. And I should have just took heed and said, wait a minute. Let's just do the right thing here. Why? Because God responds when our desires are left with him. Let's look at that scripture again. We just opened up with it, but let's read that again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, saints, walking in God's way can become the habit of our life. Now, let's look at something right up here. This is the results now of Moses' choice. We have to look at the result. What was the outcome of the? I just shared with you My bill was $250. It should have been maybe $30, right? So because of his decisions, this is what happened. Number one, he murdered a man. We talked about that. And then he was banished from Israel, and he was afraid of his own people. He was afraid of all of Egypt. And so, guess what? He was full of fear. After he committed that act, now fear and condemnation came upon him. Number three, he was banished from Egypt. In other words, he was the next in line. And just imagine what he could have done when he got to a place of prominence like that. He could have just let them all go under his decree. He could have let all the people go if he did it that way. But no, he made these choices and these things took place. We just read what he had to go through now. But let me just say this. Many of us are no different from Moses. And look at all the things that God allowed us to go through, and then he saved us. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? All the faults and failures, all the marriages and remarrying and all that, watching some of our kids just dive into drugs, and we're seeing all chaos in our life, and yet God still what chose you and me to carry out his will. This is what we're seeing in the life of Moses. It's like we read all this, we're saying, man, this guy has no chance at all to be redeemed. But yet God allowed him to go through that because one day he was going to become obedient unto him. Finally. Oh, that's right. Look at this. He became isolated from his family in the Hebrew nation. In other words, he was gone from all that wealth, all that prominence, all that power was gone. His staff was to be in charge of snakes and scorpions in the desert. That's who he was ruling now. Look at this. And then from a prince of Pharaoh, he became a shepherd. What? It's like everything was stripped away from him. Let me just say this. Before I got saved, God was stripping my life away. I had a hate for these drugs once and for all. My family had departed from me. My job was ready to terminate me. All these things were crumbling in my life, and now I can look back to look ahead. It was good for me. It was good for me. Look at this. He had plenty of time. He had to think about what he'd done. He had 40 years in that desert to ponder, wow, I could have been eating the best of food. And now I got to go catch my food. He had everything at his every whim. Look at this. He lost his high position, power, and influence. All that was gone. And then number eight, look at this. He lived in a desert while his people were suffering in Egypt, and he couldn't do anything about it. You got to remember, we just read the story. He saw the burden as a prince. And then he made a choice to kill one of those Egyptians. And that's what led him to his demise. So this is where we can learn and glean. We can take heed in his life that, guess what? We don't have to make those kind of decisions. Can I get amen? Saints, when we choose our way over God's way, we too will experience difficult consequences. That's right, we will. And we're usually filled with regret and disappointment and face consequences for our actions. How many of you can honestly say you've made mistakes and you had to suffer consequences? Oh, come on. And they hurt not only us, but sometimes they hurt other people in the process because of our mistakes. And even though God's way isn't always the simplest, it may run against the grain of our desires and can be painful, but it's always the best option. Why? Because it fulfills God's plan and purposes for our lives. And so let's look at this right up here. The prerequisite for doing things God's way. Doing things God's way. And how many would rather do it God's way? Amen. Praise God. And so, saints, no one can follow the Lord's way apart from a right relationship with his son. In other words, in order to do the right things in a godly way, we got to have that relationship with him. We got to enter into the story. We got to be a part of what he is doing in the world today. How many want to be on his team? Amen. I don't want to be on the losing team. I want to be on the winning team because I read the end of the book and it says that we win. Can I get amen? Have you gone that far? Have you read the end? We win. So I'd rather be with the winning coach. Do you know that he's our coach too? He's just not our Lord and Savior. He's our coach. He's coaching us. Just look at it that way. In the simplest term, he's coaching us. Hey, do it this way. Hey, don't go there, but go here. Be led by his spirit. And he'll show us great and mighty things. He'll show us great and mighty things that I could not imagine. I shared with you, you guys know my testimony. If I didn't respond to his call when a custodian led me to the Lord 33 years ago, I wouldn't be here speaking to you this morning. But God allowed me to go through that desert. I had to be stripped by him. And let me just say this. Because I finally took heed, 30 years of being a knucklehead, I had no clue he would give us all this. I didn't have a clue that he had a plan. We wouldn't be here in a place of comfort in here hearing God's word. Because God opened up these doors. We didn't open them up. You guys know the story. We were just little doop-de-doos. We were at home because the plague sent us home. And then God opened this up for us. You know why? Because we decided to do it God's way now. We decided to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We decided not to lean to our own understanding, but to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways that he would direct our path. He has directed us here. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And guess what? Now we can all do ministry. Yes. Now we can worship the King. Now we can love the Lord. We can watch souls get saved. Amen. Wow. That's all God. Yes. Why? Because we have entered in a covenant with him and a relationship with him. Right. And that's what we need to learn, is to fall in love with him and watch what he's going to do in our life. Saints, the result of doing things God's way, after 40 years in the wilderness that Moses had to spend, the Lord spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Finally, he got his attention. Hello, I've been trying to get your attention for a long time. Now, he couldn't rely on his wealth. He couldn't rely on his prestige. He couldn't rely on his power. He was stripped of everything. And this is where God sometimes wants us, to be stripped away of things so then he can rebuild us and use us for his mighty works. And whatever God's doing wonderfully in your life, you got to give God all the glory, all the praise. Can I get amen? Because it's not us. Can I get amen? It's not us. It's God doing it. Give him all the praise and glory. Because he's worthy of our praise, isn't he? Well, look at this story. We're going to pick up this story now later on. And actually, look at this. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock back to the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed, meaning nothing was burning up those branches. It was just burning. Look at this. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. He was living in the palaces of Egypt, but that was in holy ground. That was a mirage. That was something that's going to just get burned up in the fire. But where God chose to meet him, that was holy ground. When we gather together, when we worship God, this is holy ground. Can I get amen? We're in holy ground right now. Praise God. Thank you, God. It's holy ground. And look at this in verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. In other words, he went straight diving for the ground. Praise God. If God and an angel appeared to you, you would fall on your face. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So, Moses had lost all confidence in himself and could now be used by God. This was the moment now where he can be used by God. God had broken this man, stripped him of everything, allowed him to go through what he went through. 40 years tending sheep, loving his wife. And then God said, here comes the promise now. Here comes my blessing. Get ready. Here I come. So number one, Moses acted on divine command. It was divine command. Look what it says in verse 19. And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go return to Egypt, for all the men are dead who sought your life. Meaning God had to allow these people that wanted to kill him. He had to let them die off. Look at the mind of God. So what Moses did was dead and buried now. So God said, the men who are dead who sought your life. Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand, and he was ready now. He was ready now to do battle, not in his own strength, but God's strength. Can I listen? It would take a whole nation to free all these millions of people that were in bondage to Israel. And he came with his wife and a donkey, like you said, and a staff in his hand. And Aaron was part, his brother was with him. That's it. Look at the odds of that. Come on. Before you read the end of the story, you would think, man, this is a suicide mission. Huh, this is going to be a suicide mission. As soon as he got to Egypt and he went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, you would think they would apprehend him and they're done. But when God is with you, nothing is impossible. I don't care how big and bad your situation is. If God is with you, who can be against you? Can I get amen? Amen. Moses came in the power of the Lord now. Thank you, God. He obediently followed God's instruction instead of his own agenda. It was no longer his agenda now. He learned a big lesson. Can I get amen? He learned from all that. He said, nah, I'm going to do it God's way now. God spoke to me. I know it was God, and I'm going to do it his way now. So look at this. Number two, he proceeded on God's timing, not his own. You see, go back 40 years, and he killed that one man out of anger and hate we just read. And the result was those consequences of being stripped now. God allowed the stripping away. Praise God. Thank you, God. It's no different than a car. When you go paint your car, they have to strip down that old paint, don't they? Then they have to primer it, and then they'll shoot a new coat on it. Or do you just paint over everything else? No. You'll see all the ugliness to it. It needed to be stripped down. He needed to be stripped down. Look at this. God provided everything Moses needed. Listen, in the call of God's plan in your life, he's already made the provision. He's made the provision for you. Come on. None of us here are in the bread line. Can I get an amen? None of us here are in the bread line. God's always been providing for us. I shared with you, he provided this place. First year, there was a check written for this whole place for the whole year when we were in our home because of the plague sent us home. That's God. Amen. That's God and God alone. I'm never going to say, oh, look what Pastor Fee did. No, look what God did. Get myself out of the way. Listen to what God did. And I'm always going to give him praise and glory and honor. And so now when Moses is on his way to Egypt, guess what? What else God did? The Lord banished his fears. He was empowered by God now. You know, further in that story, man, he came down from the mountain and he was lit up. You ever been lit up by the Holy Ghost? Oh, come on. Come on, when you're lit up, man, God will just use you in mighty ways, laying hands on the sick, preaching the word, sharing, loving. In other words, yourself is out of the way and the Holy Ghost is in charge. He assured Moses that his presence and power would go with him. Praise God. And I'm here to let you know that God's power is with us. Can I get amen? Amen. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, God will condemn in judgment. So don't take action in your own hands when people come against you, when they slander, when they lie about you, when they speak evil things about you. Give it to God. Just give it to God. Say, God, I can't deal with this, and I don't want to deal with it. I'm going to give it to you, God. Because our mouth will get in the way. And we will just mess things up what God wants to do. Because even though that person may have all this negativity, God is still working on the other side of the fence. He's working on that person to bring that person into glory. And he wants us to shine. He wants us to entreat. Even when it hurts. Sometimes it hurts to love someone that hates us, but that's okay. You got to love them. Here's the thing. How many people have you invited to church Wednesday night, Sunday mornings, and they say, yeah, I'll go. I'll see you Sunday. And yet they never show up, right? Okay, we get that. So guess what? The only Bible, the only Jesus they're ever going to see is your life. Your life. You're the walking Bible study before them. And when they see the love of God personified in your being, where the anointing is flowing, the love of God, the grace of God, despite of their unbelief, that will go a lot further than to hit them inside the head. You need to come to church, you heathen, and bang them on the head. I'm sorry, that don't work. that'll never work. Can I get amen? I remember my mother-in-law, we wanted to pick her up, go to church. She goes, "Oh, I'm not going this morning. You guys go, you bunch of heathens." She could joke with us like that, but I got it. Listen, look at this. God gave Moses specific directions. He told him where to go, what to do, what to say, and how to say it and how to do it. Moses experienced God's power in his life. Egypt was a mighty nation, but Moses came in the power of Almighty God. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, when you go to someone's home, because someone may be in need of prayer, a relationship falling apart, maybe someone's suffering in their body and they're suffering physically, you have the power of God to walk in and to humble yourself and then to do what God's called you to do. Minister to them. Love them. Pray for them. Expect God to do a miracle. And how many believe that he still does miracles? Oh, yes, he does. Look at this. Moses saw God's power working in unusual ways. Remember? He told Aaron to put his staff in the water. And it what? It turned into what? Blood. The plagues came. The flies came. The frogs came. Who? Notice God used the things of nature. Because he commanded all these things to plague Egypt. He saw all these things. Moses witnessed the miracles God performed to deliver the Israelites from the bondage that they were in for 430 years. Just imagine, 430 years, and all you saw was mud pits and beatings and starvation. And all they had was a prophecy that a deliverer will one day come. Let me just say this. For us human beings, being here 6,000 years now, a deliverer finally came. And his name is Jesus. 2,000 years ago, he died on that cross. And he delivered us from death, hell, and the grave. As Egypt had them in bondage, and God sent Moses to set them free, Jesus came to set us free. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. And so let's look at this. The Hebrews experienced great blessings. You know how they experienced great blessings? The whole kingdom of Egypt had riches galore. And so when they were finally set free, and Pharaoh said, "Away with you all. Take your cattle, take all this, and get out of my sight." Guess what they took with them? Gold, silver, rubies, diamonds. As they were leaving Egypt, they were walking away blessed. God made sure that when God delivered us from sin, he had a blessing in store for us. Can I get an amen? Yo, that's right. We can honestly say now we are a blessed people. How many believe that you're blessed by God? Amen. Praise God. Oh, yes. We're blessed. Why? Because he blessed us. And whatever God blesses, guess what? Nothing can come against that blessing. Nothing can. And so the Hebrews experienced great blessings. Praise God. And Moses learned God's ways. Praise God. And this is what God is looking for us now, to learn to do things God's way. He witnessed the effectiveness of God's way and the futility of his own. His own self got him in trouble, but God's way is what elevated him in the prominence of the things of God. And look at this. Moses learned God could use him in his weakness. You know that saying? Well, we sing these songs, "When I am weak, he is strong." Can I get an amen? That's right. He stood before Pharaoh, armed only with a staff, and watched the Lord act on Israel's behalf. That's all he had. He didn't come with a nation. He didn't come with tanks. He didn't come with AK-41s. He didn't come with foot soldiers. He came with a staff to set millions free from the bondage. Come on. You know what? There's some people, yeah, right. That really happened. Yes, it did happen. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians as we're coming in for a close. Paul wrote to them and said, "Now I pray to God that you do no evil, that no one should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you be made complete." Praise God. Praise God. Our last point I want to make is this. God accomplished in a short time what Moses couldn't do in a lifetime of his own. In a short time. It took 40 years in the desert. How many of you can honestly say that you've been in a desert with God? Oh, come on. I've been in a desert with God. Hallelujah. Moses rescued one. Look at this. I want you to catch this. Moses rescued one man, but the Lord set a multitude free without a revolution or a war. What? Russia is trying to deliver this whole nation through war by bombing and killing. And we're watching it live, real time. And yet, Moses came with his staff, his wife, his brother Aaron. They came riding on a donkey. And he set that whole nation of Israel free. Come on, that's so impossible to even consider, to even fathom that. But he didn't have the U.S. military with him. He didn't have any nuclear weapons. He didn't have guided missiles. He didn't have a million men marching with him. But he set them free through the power of God. What's impossible in your life that you're facing right now? What can you say, "Lord, I can't do this with my own strength. I've tried this, I've tried this, I've tried this, and it just seems to go ring around the mulberry bush. It's like I'm on a carnival ride on a merry-go-round and it keeps going around and around and around. And I'm dizzy now." What can we take from this story and apply to our life that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for? How can we look at this story and say, "Man, you did the impossible things that this is unheard of. This is something that scientists today would say this is impossible." But that's what the devil wants to do, is convince you that God is not able. That's what old Slewfoot wants to do, is convince you that God can't do these things again. Well, guess what? I'm here to let you know, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. I don't care what situation you're going through right now. God can do the miraculous in that situation. How many of you know family members and friends, co-workers, people, just people that you relate to in your life, in your world, that are going through madness right now? As a pastor, I'm always getting calls for counseling. And it's needed. Because sometimes it takes the wisdom from the word to rightly divide it and then to minister to them. Point to the scriptures. I could give anyone my opinion, but that goes only so far. What does God say? What does God say about your situation? Because God cannot fail us. Can I get amen? Amen. God cannot fail us. And so I end with these questions, and then we got some wonderful food next door. So look at this. Number one, can you remember a time you chose to do things your way rather than God's? That's me. This me. And I miserably failed. What consequences and regrets followed your actions? I shared with you $250 of damage instead of just calling a locksmith that would have took $30. What keeps you from doing these things that things God's way? What's holding you back from trusting God? That's the question. What keeps getting in the way? God will show you if you press toward him, if you seek him with your heart. Whatever you're going through, it's tailor-made for you. It's tailor-made for me, right? Look at this. Do you tend to respond to situations based on emotions, human reasoning, or impulses like Moses? That's what he did. Or do we fast and pray? Do we seek God? Say, God, help me. Don't let me respond with my reasoning. Remember I said sometimes our stinking thinking will get in the way? And we'll foul it all up. And number five, are you prepared to respond according to God's will as revealed in his word? That's what it boils down to. Saints of God, there's hope in Christ. How many believe that there's hope in God? I'm going to pray for us right now, and then we're going to hopefully go next door in fellowship. Amen? And but for those who are watching right now, you've logged into YouTube, Facebook, maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to Jesus. We never end our service without an invitation to receive Christ. I promised the Lord as pastor of this church that we would always close our service by giving an invitation to receive Christ. That is our responsibility, our duty as a saved, born-again believer to extend God's grace, to let you know that God can do those miraculous things even in your life. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. And believe God can see you through your situation. That maybe you need that miracle. That millions that were in bondage in Egypt got set free by one man. Well, the one man, the God man, that can set you free right now is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to set the captives free. And if that's you, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head with me as we pray for you. And that we would ask God to do the miraculous in your life. Maybe it's time now that your struggle is over. And now salvation has come. Deliverance has come. Being set free from the devices of the devil. God wants to set you free. And if that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Is he worthy? Is Jesus worthy? Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.